You know, God is moving rapidly, and he's going to continue to move rapidly. And it's our responsibility to stay in the flow with God. He doesn't stay in the flow with you. You know, one of the things that prevents us from really moving in a mighty way with the Lord is pride. And I just want to share with you pride. Before we even get going, this has got nothing to do with teaching today, but the Holy Spirit is quickening me because that's what's going to move you out. Pride delays. Does everybody understand? Pride will cause you to delay. Pride will cause you to be lazy, cause you to compromise. Pride causes you to wait on others to do things, causes you to blame others for your garbage. Pride is the number one protector of self. And that's where the enemy begins to move in a mighty way in your life, is pride. And if you can't discern the fruits of pride, somebody else will discern them for you. Now, let me tell you something. Something's happening. Because the Holy Spirit is showing me that there's a river of pride that's infiltrating and trying to wipe out the body of Christ. And that's what I'm seeing right now. And it's a disgusting river. It's dirty and filthy. And that's what I'm seeing right now. It's a flood. The Bible tells us that the enemy's going to come with a flood. And one of the floods he's coming with is pride. Pride. It's a killer. Pride causes division and comes against unity. Pride tries to justify in its own carnal mind and understanding. Pride is a personal reverence into a deadly end. It is cancer. It is cancer to the body of Christ. Pride. The Bible says that the Father rejects the prideful and gives grace to the humble. Pride moves in its own way, and it's always led by anxiousness. Pride. Because what protects pride is fear. And fear is anxious. Always anxious. Pride tells everybody else how to do it, but can't do it themselves. Pride loves to quote scriptures, but can't walk it. Pride is a taker, not a giver. Pride. Pride. Personal reverence into a deadly end. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. Hello. Pride always asks for self, but doesn't ask for others. The only concern of pride is self. Me, myself, and pride. Pride. Pride is blind to the future. Pride is blinded. It can't see things thoroughly through. It makes decisions only if associated with self and in the moment instead of seeing things through. It can't see things through. Pride. Oh, get this today because it's a warning from the Lord. I'm telling you, I saw a dirty river come into the body of Christ and it's infiltrating everywhere, and pride is causing people to fall. Pride. The Bible says that pride goes before a fall. Pride. You know, people jump off the potter's wheel because of pride. They think they can do it on their own. And we can't. Pride. Pride is associated with religion, which brings bondage. It's the number one bondage that the devil loves to use. Religion. It's associated, the two major spirits associated with religion is pride and fear. And those, both of those spirits protect self. They have its own belief. Pride has its own belief system. Pride. Hello? It can't receive counsel. It's offended when it receives counsel or correction or direction. Now, let me share something else with you with pride. Pride is associated with deaf and dumb spirit. It shakes hand in hand. A deaf and dumb spirit's a protector of pride also. It's one of the fruits of pride. They are deaf and dumb. The person can't see, can't receive. Can't grasp the understanding and revelation. Is everybody here? Everybody okay? Are you listening? Get it in your spirit so you know the fruits of the spirit. It's a killer, I'm telling you right now. Pride would never lay down its life. It's always trying to preserve it. Pride. Personal reverence into a deadly end. It won't go the extra mile. It only goes what it has to. Pride. Would you turn to John 3:16? Now remember, that's what the Holy Spirit just came upon me and shared this with me. I just saw the whole thing. This was not about today's teaching, but I'm sharing with you. It's always, God knows exactly what's what. 3:16. Is everybody okay? Did you get it? Get it in your spirit. And if you've already touched and agree with it, get rid of it. If you already see the fruits happening in your life, get rid of it quickly. Because it will kill you. It is a cancer. Pride. John 3:16. Read it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now we know the word believe means to what? Follow. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Because the world was already condemned. Do you understand that? He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe or follow is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the Son of the only begotten of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Wow, that's one of the things pride does. It puts a false, it has a form of godliness, but it actually loves darkness more than light. But it has a form of loving light, but really, truly, within the individual, there is such a fight to run back to the darkness and run away from the light. And verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, that's why the world lives on pride. Right? I mean, think about it. Everybody's looking to be puffed up out in the world. And in the body of Christ, we're looking to be humble. And Jesus lifted up, not us. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Everyone practicing evil hates the light. Did you ever wonder why sometimes you get that fight of not fellowshipping? Why? Because evil is there trying to prevent you in coming into the unity of light. Did you ever notice that you might be struggling with something, all of a sudden you walk into fellowship and it leaves you? It's because you picked up something. And it got knocked off at the door as you came in. See, there's certain things that you pick up that the darkness just can't handle. They run no matter what. When you come in unity. See, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Did you ever wonder why? Sometimes you just don't want to go to fellowship or the anointing service because you picked up something. And the devil doesn't want you to get in to be exposed because he's got to leave you. Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting powers of darkness. And every time there's see, the devil wants to impress in you so he can express through you. And if he can cause you to yield to him, he's got a legal right to access you in that area. And then people wonder why they're struggling. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible also says, make no place for him. But he who does the truth comes to the light. That's why we run to services. That's where we run to get in the presence of God. You should love the presence of God, not hate it. If you don't like to get into God's presence because you are demonized, ooh, that's pretty tough. Yes, you are loaded, and you need deliverance badly. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. Is everybody okay? Now, I just want to share something here, because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? In other words, God became flesh. And when he became flesh, he was ripped for me and you, that the veil could be ripped so that we could have a relationship with him. See, he wanted to have a more relationship with you. He couldn't have a relationship with you. So he came into the world himself, put on flesh, and became the veil that ripped in the temple between the most holy place and the holy of holies. His desire was to have a relationship with a man. More than man's desire was to have a relationship with him. So he put on flesh. Why? Because he loved us so much. An unconditional love. We can't even comprehend the love of God. We can't. It's so overwhelming. It'll kill you. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I've experienced the love that kills. And when I had my visitation from the Lord and I was brought to the other side, I experienced a love that I said, if this is death, hallelujah, I want it. I've not felt it since. Only glimpses of it. But I know it awaits us. It's amazing. Man fears death. But I'm telling you, when you really get a taste of death, it's actually pure love. If it's by God. Or else it's pure torment by the devil. See, he became flesh so that he became that veil that could be ripped. See, that's why God even smited him. He actually smited himself, didn't he? He took a part of himself and came into the natural realm so he could sense, he could feel what it was like to be carnal. He felt every pain, even though he was on the other side. He sent himself into the natural realm, so he felt everything. And he actually killed himself. Why? Because his self came in a natural realm, didn't it? Now, it's not suicide, all right? So he took all of man's sin and killed it. Jesus became the serpent and hung on the cross, and anyone that went to him could get healed now. Why? Because he loves us. See, he first had to forgive our sins before we could ask forgiveness. Love. That's a love, isn't it? See, the Bible says if you love him, you'll obey him. Love. Love is everything. I didn't say lust. I said love. John 10:10. See, he made the way for me and you, didn't he? Came in to expose the devil, gave us the power and the anointing. And verse 10, but the Bible says that the thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. I am the what? He's the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Whoa. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus wanted us to have life abundantly. See, because unconditional love toward us was given. But the devil interferes with our reception of receiving God's love all the time. He's always trying to break that breach between you and God so you can't receive his love. But there's got to be something imparted in you that says, no matter how I feel, no matter what I'm going through, I don't care if I've been abused, beaten, I don't care what it is, God still loves me. It doesn't matter. It's not God that's doing these things, it's the enemy that does these things, because somehow we've opened a door or we've been at the wrong place at the wrong time. Hello? Something has happened. Now all things can work to the good, can it? But one of the things we don't want to do is open the door, do we? So we know that God's blessing, he wants to bless us continually. It says he came to bring life and life abundantly, right? So many people confuse God's love with his blessing. And that's not what it's about. God loves you unconditionally, no matter what you do. But the blessings of God come on your cooperation of obedience, not on how much God loves you. And I really believe that that's an area where people, where pride comes in, because they're constantly hearing the voice of the stranger say, well, if God loved you, why doesn't he bless you with this? Or why doesn't he do that? Or why? No, you're not getting those things because you ain't right. There's an open door. The blessings of God come through obedience, not how much he loves you. Does everybody understand that? Lord, but I cry out and I ask for help. Well, good. When he gives it to you, do it. Quit trying to figure out your way and do it his way. And you'll find the blessings of God begin to get poured out more and more and more. And the greatest blessings that you and I can have is his presence. The Bible says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Man, what more do you want? That's all you need. You got everything. We've got everything. The problem is the devil has access to steal, kill, and destroy because of disobedience. He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And what's associated with disobedience? Pride. Pride. In Deuteronomy 28, we're getting somewhere here. I'll let you know when we get there. Deuteronomy 28. Let's read the first two verses, please. Now it shall come to pass. Is anybody going to else read it? Let's start at verse 1. I said, let us read the first two verses. Now shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. There it is. Does everybody get it? And like I shared before, let me share something. When God tells me to do something, and I'm not perfect, I sure wish I was, but I'm not. I do it with all of my heart. Because I don't do it for myself, I labor unto him. Does everybody understand that? Everything that we do now is laboring unto him, no matter what it is. And I don't move until the Lord moves me. And most of the time, I've shared this before, in my volunteer jobs, I didn't move until I got thrown out. Because I was going to stay there to the end. You know, and in this, this is where he says, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to die for me? And I want you to understand that when certain things come through and you're going through something, he'll say to you this, will you die for me? If you haven't heard that, then you need to get in position to hear it. Because he'll bring that to you. And you'll hear it more and more and more. Will you die for me? Will you die for me? See, as you start struggling and certain things happen, will you die for me? See, there's something that he puts in us to keep us humble and to be grateful. Here we are in the park. Fans blowing, a pool over there, a lake over there, food on the table, and fellowship. What an honor and blessing that is. You know why? Because I can never stop thinking about what it's like in Cambodia. I can never, that never leaves me. I can never stop seeing those children begging for food. I can never leaves me. It stays with me all the time when I go buy something at the store. I'm always thinking about these kids. No matter what it is, there's always somebody much more in need than what we need. And when we have a need, we got to stop thinking about what we need and look at what others are in need of. That's called compassion. Compassion, and it's a fruit of God's love within us. It's a fruit. See, this is where he says, will you die for me? Will you die for me? In other words, will you take what I've given you and give it to somebody else? Will you share it with somebody? Will you share it? Will you give? Yes, I gave it to you, but it's not just for you. It's for everyone. See, these blessings come on by obedience. And the blessing is for you, but the blessing is for you to share, not for you to covet. See, when man blesses, when man begins to covet the blessing, it becomes a curse. Does everybody understand? Go to 1 John 4. First John chapter 4. Is everybody there in verse 12? Would you read it with me, please? No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in him, in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Wow. There is no fear in love. Everybody say that. There is no fear in love. Say it again. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. If there's torment, that means you've got an open door. And let me share something with you. That open door can be pride. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So what's God trying to do? Perfect us in his love. We love him because he first loved us. So love is a choice, isn't it? But the Bible says perfect love casts out fear and torment. He commanded us to abide in him because God is love. And we're to be one with him in the area of love. But a fruit of love is compassion. Compassion. Does everybody understand? Compassion. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 4. What does it say? Love suffers long and is in kind. Oh, hallelujah. And isn't kind? Is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Hallelujah. Love is a choice. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, arrogantly, prideful. Does not seek its own. Is willing to die. Is not provoked. And is not a provoker. Thinks no evil, but casts it down. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never what? Fails. Love never fails. Love is wisdom. Does everybody understand? These are all associated with the Spirit, aren't they? God is love. God is wisdom. Why? Because wisdom tells you what to do. Love is wisdom, not stupid. Hello? There are choices that people make according to the love of God or according to the emotion of the soul. There's a difference of compassion and a difference of dumb. Hello? In other words, you're not going to give somebody you know that's an addict $20 because you have compassion on them when you're going to kill them. The enemy loves to move in the emotional realm to where there's false compassion. It's deceptive. And we must discern that. And we discern it by the love of God with wisdom. Are you hearing? Are you listening? Love is the character of Christ. And the Bible also says compassion is one of his characters too. Go to James 5. You know, God's timing is everything. And there is a time to be bold, because even Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees and cast out devils and take no garbage. But then there was a time when he expressed his compassion and love. There was a time when he expressed his authority and dominion. And see, when you're walking in God's love and the character of Christ, you'll know, you'll have that sense in your spirit of when to activate, when to yield to these areas. And that's where some people, you know, they may say something to something and deliver it in the wrong way. Because it's not the compassion and the love of Christ. It may just be the letter, and the Bible says the letter kills. So how you deliver something is important also. And James chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very what? Compassionate and merciful. He is very what? Compassionate and merciful. If His mercy, His mercy and His compassion towards me and you, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't manifested. Now, His mercy says, okay, I've heard you. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now I'm going to give you compassion. By the compassion, He sent His grace. See, grace was delivered by compassion of Christ. Hello? Praise God. You know, when we get filled with God's presence, it's amazing how many times people get filled with God's presence and the enemy waits for them right at the end as they leave service or something to unplug them and they get drained. And they get involved in an argument or they become disobedient to counsel of the Lord. That's amazing. You know why? Because pride didn't leave them. Pride is the only spirit that can survive in the presence of God. God has to remove him. Are you hearing me? But eventually it won't, huh? Does everybody understand that? Remember, the Lord removed Satan, didn't he? Get out of here. Why? Remember, Satan was God's right-hand man, wasn't he? And he became prideful. And he was still in God's presence, wasn't he? And the Lord had to remove him. Does everybody understand that? I won't go any further on that. It's a whole other arena. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. In verse 14 and 15. Would you read it with me? Oh God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life. And have not set you before them. See, pride does not set God before them. Does everybody understand that? But you, O Lord, are a God full of what? Compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and in truth. Oh, how so, pride will prevent you from setting the Lord before you. And if pride is involved, it prevents the compassion of Christ to manifest through you. Why? Because he's nullifying God's presence and God's love in you. And then the compassion can't be expressed because there's too much busyness of trying to be in self-sustaining mode and survival mode. Are you with me? In Matthew 14, thank you, Lord, for being full of compassion. Matthew 14 and verse 13 and 14. Is everybody there? When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Wow. First of all, you got to understand something, that the people did something that moved God's compassion. Jesus said, if you'll do this, I'll do that. In other words, his compassion is the expression of his love. Compassion is the fruit of love. So he'll show you compassion. Sometimes favor is associated with compassion. The Lord granted me favor. Well, sometimes we call God's favor actually his compassion. Because he was compassionate, he'll show you favor. But it says that the multitude all came out, they followed him. They come out of their homes, they denied themselves, and they followed him. And because they followed him and they were obedient to him, he expressed his compassion by what? Healing them all. Something we need more of. Compassion. Compassion. See, if there's enough love in you of Christ and enough compassion to be expressed, there are things that you won't say, there are things that you won't do, and there are things that you will do. If there's enough compassion. Why? Because a compassion is an area of a state of being of denial of self. Compassion is always an area of expressing God's love through compassion to say, it's not my life, it's his life. It's not my life, it's his life. I don't care if I have a life. See, but individuals begin to run when things get tough. You know why? Pride. Because pride's a protector of what? Self. Self-preservation. Compassion cannot be expressed because love has not cast out all fear. And because the love has not cast out all fear, fear is a protector of pride, and pride is a protector of self. Is everybody listening? That's why an individual cannot deny themselves. Oh, they try to. They express it. They say they're willing to, but they can't. In Matthew 9. This is where we're at right now. This is what the Lord is moving on. And he's trying to get it out to his children so that the world can see his love through their compassion. Now I know why he started off with pride today. Let's see here. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. In other words, the laborers of compassion. The laborers that are willing to deny self. The laborers that are willing to die. In Luke 7. Will you die for me? Luke 7:11. You know, a servant of the Lord is motivated by the love of God expressing his compassion. We forgive because we express his compassion. So when you forgive somebody, what are you expressing? You're expressing God's compassion because you're carrying God's love. And you're choosing to forgive no matter what they've done. He expressed his compassion on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wants his love expressed through us with compassion. In Luke 7 and verse 11, now it happened the day after that he, Jesus, went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near a gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was there with her. When the Lord saw her, he had what? Compassion on her. And said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Now I want you to know that you and I were in these coffins also. even though that carnally, physically, we weren't dead, but we were spiritually dead in coffins. And the enemy was carrying us to his house. And somebody was interceding big time for me and you. And Jesus walked up to that coffin and he laid his hands on us and said, "Receive me and I'll raise you." And he had compassion on us and he rose us from the dead. Because we were once dead, but now we are alive and we'll live forever as long as we maintain in that position and not give up that salvation so easily to the devil, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he had compassion on us. The mercy came first and then the compassion. And I'm telling you, pride will prevent that from manifesting in your life. Going the extra mile. Doing something but not asking to be done. Compassion is a wonderful attribute in the character of Christ. Compassion. You know, one day I was floating in the pool and I was speaking to the Lord and all of a sudden I heard this thunk. And I looked over at this tree and there was a cat come down the tree and I knew he was after something. For some reason I got up and the Lord said to me, "Get up and go look." And I got out of the pool and I went over there and looked and there was a dead bluebird there and his neck was messed up. And I thought, man. And I kept looking at this bird and I wanted to make sure that the cat or squirrel, whatever it was that came down, didn't eat it. So I was looking at this thing. All of a sudden, something came over me. And I love this bird so much. I'm thinking. And I said, "Lord, why do I love this bird so much?" And because I love this bird so much, he said, "Pick it up." And I'm thinking, my first thought was, ugh. But before that thought could be manifested, it was removed. And I put my hands underneath this bird and I said, "Lord, I don't know why I love this bird so much, but would you heal?" And before I could say heal, the bird was healed and flew out of my hand. And I realized the compassion of Christ. I read the other day about a gentleman who was in Africa. And the Lord told him to go to the hospital. He said he walked into the hospital. It was so smelly and so nasty. It was disgusting. He could smell death everywhere. And he said, "Lord, but the hospital smells." He said, "You smelled just like that when you were in sin." And he said, "Keep going." And he led him to this woman that had AIDS. And he said it smelled so badly he couldn't barely take it. And he said all of a sudden he felt the compassion of the love of Christ come upon him. And this woman was about 20-something pounds. Nothing but skin and bone. And she was about 30 years old. She had boils on her arms. She had all kinds of sores and canker sores. And she was just oozing from all over. Tumors. There was just no way. The doctor said she only had a couple hours to live. She couldn't even speak or breathe. The only thing the mother can do is put a wet cloth on her wrist. That was it. And he said the compassion of Christ came upon him so much that he didn't care what she looked like or what was up. That he brought her across. The Lord brought him across the area of smell and across the area of sight. And brought him into his love. And the Lord said to him, "I want to rescue her." And he began to pray for her and lead her. And she couldn't speak, but he knew that she understood what he was saying. And she accepted the Lord Jesus. She said immediately, because under her armpits were huge boils, they disappeared. All of a sudden, her lips were constantly bleeding. They stopped bleeding. All of a sudden, all of these tumors began to disappear. Within seconds, the woman was made whole. And she was able to talk. And he said, "What did you feel?" And he said, "I felt," she said, I felt heat all over me. And she felt the love of Jesus. And the whole place went crazy. Doctors came over and began to ask questions and so forth. You know, God does what he wants to do. After I read this, the first thought that came to me, well, I wonder how many other people got healed. I don't know. It didn't say the whole hospital got healed. But I know many people got saved. I know many people got saved. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants to express his love with compassion. With compassion. See, the fruit of love is compassion. You know, don't try to justify and prove that you're right. Quit fighting over doctrine and the things that you're right. Let the love of Christ flow through you. We must walk in the compassion to raise the dead. Quit thinking about you and your families and everything else. Think about the ones that don't have one. You know, what we have where we're at right now is abundant. But there are others out there that need, that really are in need. Very much in need. They're in need of the compassion of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to close here. The world needs to see his love by your compassion. We have four new packages that have come out. And one is called Totally Committed. Totally Committed. The other one is called The Cup of Victory. Powerful teachings. Waging Good Warfare. Hello. And The King's Seal. I encourage you. Learn. We also have t-shirts called Learn or Burn. So, those are good witnesses. So, learn or burn. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of what? One mind, having what? Compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil. And not reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Know that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Stay filled with his presence. And let his love be expressed through you with compassion. Compassion. No matter where you are. Don't get sucked in the ring and fight. And beat your lips and your tongue towards the wind. See, if you're truly in position, the battle belongs to the Lord. Stay in position and let the compassion of Christ manifest through you. The world is looking for Christ. They're looking for him right now. Shut the door to a river of pride and let Christ be manifested through you with his compassion and his love. Amen. Father, we are honored and blessed. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are, what you've done, and the price of your son. Lord, forgive us for coming in agreement with pride. Fill us with your love today, Lord, and let the expression of your love be manifested with compassion through each and every one, that we may be like-minded, forgiving, and blessing. Using wisdom to tell us what to do, and increase in the discernment that we might not fall into the traps of the enemy. or we will die for you. And those who won't, Lord, help them know your love and your compassion in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.